Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, Eden is kingdom, and Eden mindset is a kingdom mindset. Let me hear ya. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see you do your hands like this. Come on, let me hear you, let me hear you. Put your hands together like this. Come on. Here we go.
When God made man, he made a feeling. It was his plan that we reflect. Such a change. We were distracted. Such a change. And we fell.
Yeah. Let's get back to Eden, living on top of the world. Let's get back to Eden, living like we're supposed to live, and that's spiritual. Let's get back to Eden, being who the Word of God decree and declare that we are. Let's get back there. Let's get back to our deliverance. Let's get back to our healing. Let's get back to the promises of God. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. Truly happy to have each and every one of you on. We're going to have a review here in a moment. I'll just do the word of prayer. I want to pray for Pastor Bell and her family. I believe they're on the road. As a matter of fact, they're at Indiana. So we're praying for them, that Father God will continue to send ministering angels their way and send forth ministering spirits, that they will have traveling grace in what area they enter into. And Father God, your word decree and declare that in everything we should give thanks. So we take this time to say thank you, first of all, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn whose we are and who we are. And we're thankful for that. It can affirm that we are walked by the Spirit, because we are Spirit. We are the light of the world that sits on a hill that can't be hidden. You said that about us. So we thank you. We thank you for saying, let our light shine that men may see our good work and glorify you. I thank you for that. I thank you, Father God, that we're content in you. We have security in you. We're free in you. And as children, Father God, we thank you for your protection, for your angels, according to Psalms 91, verses 14 and 16. We thank you. We thank you, Father God, that you are our refuge. We honor you. We praise you. We give you the honor and the glory. We thank you, Father God, for sharing your glory. You didn't have to, but you did. So we thank you for it. And for that reason, Father God, we know that we are children that's been born again, and not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is your word. So since you're the word and we're born of the word, we become more like you. So I thank you for that. And then, Father God, I pray for those that are asking for knowledge and wisdom and revelation, that you'll allow them to enjoy living on top of the world, and not in the world, but on top of the world. I ask you, Father God, to open the ears of those that want to know more and understand, include myself, because I definitely, Father God, seek after more knowledge of you. So open our eyes and our hearts and our ears, most of all, that we become doers of the word and not just hearers only. And everybody agreed with this prayer, said amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. We're talking about the God of this world, but let me remind you guys that don't cheat yourself out of what's yours. And I just want that to be a staple in this ministry, that we're cheating ourselves. When you're not living above the world, then you're living in the world. So in order to live above the world, you have to take the Word of God serious. Remember, our ways are not God's ways, and God's ways are not our ways. So therefore, something got to give, and God ain't changing. Isaiah 55 said that my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. So, Lord, since we understand that, we want our ways to become your ways. So that's why we need to convert and become spiritual. Get back to where he planted us, where he had planted us. And that's in Eden. Hallelujah. Okay. Most of all, brothers and sisters, we're not just surviving, we're striving. Okay? And we're thriving. So we can do more than just survive, we're thriving. It's get better by the moment. Like I said, don't cheat yourself out of what's yours. Don't cheat yourself out of good spiritual life. Don't cheat yourself out of what the Word has decreed and declared that's yours, okay? God wants us to be established in Christ, according to Colossians 2. So with that being said, we are opening up the review. And we're going to take our time today. Pastor will be listening. She may not be able to read, but she will be listening. Don't know what's going on. That's what she said in the text, and that's what I'm giving you guys. And we just thank God she's able to listen. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to start off with Second Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Sister William, would you want to read that for us, please?
Yes, Pastor.
And hold it before you, maybe somebody want to, I don't know. Maybe somebody want to have, I don't see nobody press 1. So if anybody wants to have anything to show on the review in the midst of this, just press 1 and we'll acknowledge you. Okay. I'm sorry. Apologize.
Yes. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. If our gospel, somebody said to me the other day, they didn't know we had a gospel. Our gospel is Christ, okay? And it's a mystery how I know that. In Colossians 2, and I really don't want to get into too much of this part, but you need to have that understanding. In Colossians 2, and we'll start with the first verse and probably read, I know we had 5 and 6, so we'll read from 1 through 6. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 6.
One moment, Pastor. Colossians 2:1-6. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at the Laodiceans, and for as many as have not seen my face in flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, through the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Amen.
Amen, amen. I would that ye know what is great. He wanted people to know what was going on. That their heart may be comforted, being knitted together in love or in God, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding and the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. That's where it said it's in Christ. So this our gospel is hidden in Christ. Our gospel, the Bible says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servant, for Jesus' sake. The Bible says, for God, whom commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, our gospel is not for everybody. Our gospel is ours. And let me say, I like the fact that it says but. Because you go back before that, it tells you about renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty and things of the world and walking according of the world and craftiness and all of that and handling the word of God deceitfully. That's what people do. But don't get caught up into that, because that's their gospel. It's not our gospel. And when I think about the deceitful and the hidden things, and how it being manifest and people calling this stuff God, let me just kind of throw a couple of things y'all away. So you can kind of like chew on this. How is it that they claim that they are praising God, but when the organ start playing, it's all about their dancing? It's all about them and their music. You know, I could see if you really singing to me, call my name. Don't call Joe Willie. You singing to me. I mean, how would you feel you telling me in one ear you love me, but in the other ear, you loving Joe Willie? That's just a name I use. That's Frank Bob. I don't care. Or let me kind of put it in reverse. How would you feel if your name is Betty, and I say, oh, I'm in love with you, Brenda, but your name is Betty? I'm showing Brenda all of what I think of her. But I'm supposed to be in love with Betty. See, that's a deceitful I mean, that stuff, God got to deal with that. God deals with that kind of stuff. People proclaiming to be of God, but yet they're not. And they're walking according, in other words, their craftiness, in verse 2, it talks about, I'll let y'all read that. I'll have Evangelist William to read that for me. Read 2 Corinthians 4 and read verses 1 through 3.
2 Corinthians 4, 1, 2, 3. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See, this gospel that our gospel, rather, is hidden to them that are lost, and in whom the God of this world. Let me share this with you. I'm going to point out about 6 things and we'll move on. First of all, this is supposed to be a ministry of excellency. It's supposed to be a ministry of unselfishness. It's supposed to be a ministry that we take to the people. And we're supposed to be renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Hidden things of dishonesty. How many of you guys out there really believe that when people are dancing and pray, that they're praising God? I mean, be honest. Dishonesty. When they giving money, who you think they giving the money for?
Amen.
I want you to think about that for a moment. When they giving money, and it's okay to give, stop being phony with it. I said this the other day, and I think it's worth, stop lying about it. If you're giving money for a charity, just say that. Stop it with all this, well, I'm just going to say craftiness.
Yes, amen, amen.
Conning. It just never ceases to amaze me how people are being conned. Conning. And it's awful. It's how people are being persuaded. I want to say they just, it's almost like a sickness. And these people got skills in this. I mean, this says skills.
Amen.
Directing people, but yet they're not directing people. Supposed to be directing people to God, but not.
Yes, yes.
And they're being paid for it. And some people won't denounce that. Well, I think it's time, brothers and sisters, that we denounce that stuff. all that foolishness, slackness, and they do it with such accuracy. Denounce that mess. Certain songs play, and at a certain time, you know, Miss Ann gonna get up and start dancing. You know, she ain't doing that for God. See, either you're going to worship God in spirit and truth or you're not, okay? Just cut through all of that. I just hit the nail on the head. And it's time that we expose these people. Yeah, because they're part of the God of this world. Listen, brother, sister, I get it, man. Jesus declare and decree in John 14:6 that he is the light of the world. And in Matthew 7, we dealt with that, so let's deal with a little of that. We're gonna try to go over some of these scriptures that we did this week. Matthew 7:13-14. Matthew 7:13-14.
Yes, Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in the spirit. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen.
Now, this really is a hard scripture to understand unless you open up your spirit mind. He said, now you enter in by the narrow gate. Now let me show you. Imagine that you out there in Atlanta. We have 285, we got 75, we got 85, but you get out there 7 o'clock in the morning, and I mean, it is wide, man. It's wide open because these different highways leading to one big highway. Sometimes it's 7 lanes across, 14 all the way across. Busy. That's the way the way to God is. But every now and then, you'll see where you exit off. And that exit, even though it's real wide, even though it's real broad, bunch of folks out there, church on every corner, this one saying I'm right, this one saying I'm right. This one got to have a dome. This one got to have a cathedral. Real wide. And you out there thinking, well, if I get on this one, I'm going to make it. And many goes in by it. But he said, remember, because the narrow is the gate. It's a difficult. Is the way which leads to life. Now here's the part I really like about this scripture. The word few. So that ought to tell you something right there. It ain't where the crowd is. It's where the few is at. Only a few people. But see, we get excited about numbers. We get excited because that's the way we've been raised. Hey, well, if it's big, that's where we need to be. We need to be part of that. We need to be part of whatever's big. Be careful, brothers and sisters. You have
Amen.
To get a narrow, but there is a way. that leadeth to destruction. And there it is right there. You want to stay in that narrow path. The Lord one time showed me where all these people were going down the highway, and then, boom, a light shined. And the Spirit said, go where that light at. Boom. Only a few people was there. I never forget one time I was using my GPS, and someone told me, say, you know what? Try the back road. Because I was learning about that thing. I was learning about that GPS and how it worked. And I was like everybody else. You know, I just, you know, put in there where I'm going. And I wasn't trying to figure out if I was walking or riding a bicycle or taking a city trolley or driving a car. Or the back scenic view. But I thought I'd try that. And I did. And lo and behold, only a few people were going on that route. It's a little difficult because we had to stop at some lights. And, you know, we didn't have as many restaurants. They, all our stuff they didn't have. But let me tell you what, man. We made it. Well, the moral of this story is the way I'm telling you that we have to go, it ain't easy. You don't have all the flashing lights. You don't have all the bells and whistles. You don't have all this other stuff going on. You may not have hanging chandeliers. You may not have padded pews. You may not have carpet. But let me tell you what, brothers and sisters, because everybody got that, that don't mean that's the way.
Amen.
Only a few people. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Be part of the few. The scripture said, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walk in his ways, according to Psalms 128:1. The blessing is when you walk in his way. His way is not that broad way. And I'm going to tell you something. According to Mark 8, as Evangelist Williams, you'll find Mark 8, I think it's 36 and 38. And then I'm going to go over the rest of these scriptures. See, every time I think about where we're at and what's going on, scriptures come to mind. But in Mark 8, 36, 38, read 36, 37, 38.
36 through 38. Mark 8, 36 through 38. But what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words and their in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. Amen.
So whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words. Mm-hmm. Are you ashamed of the word of God? Do you put other stuff before you put the word of God? No reason he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, now I'll give you the rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I am gentle. It's not as hard as people think, brothers and sisters. This is a rejoicing way. It's not sad. It's not sad.
Amen.
But I like what God said about the church folk. He said, my people would not heed my voice, and Israel wouldn't have none of me. Yeah. When I read that, I think about the Well, I'll let her read so y'all know that. See, a lot of time I have people read stuff because I want you to think I'm trying to make up nothing. But in Psalms 81, verses 11 through 14, Psalms 81, verses 11 through 14.
Psalms 81, 11 through 14. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I give them up unto their own hearts, lust, and they walk in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Amen.
Yeah.
They won't hear the voice of God. Got the word of God right before them and won't obey it. Monday, I started off with this outline. And I think if we start off with Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Colossians, it's part of the outline. See, the devil offer a whole lot to the optical nerve. Not that you need that, but he know how to entice you. That's part of that craftiness. That's part of that way he does things. But in 2 Colossians 2, verses 5 and 6.
Colossians 2, 5 and 6. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I with you in the spirit, join and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Amen, amen.
So we're urged here to walk in Christ, okay? Even though Paul said to the people that I'm absent, you may not see me, you may not hear me, you may not see me in the flesh, but know that we're together in the spirit.
Amen.
Just stay steadfast. Your faith in Christ. So ask yourself the question, are my faith in Christ? Now, I got people still want to debate the issue. Is your faith, there's a difference between, there's no difference, they say, between having faith in Jesus and having faith in Christ. Well, I beg to differ because there's a difference, brothers and sisters. The word Jesus, that meant the flesh. That's what's a sacrifice. That's what the people was used to. So when you get in the book of Hebrews, that's when you understand how the Jews really practice their devotion toward God. And in some of that, they was very obedient. So let me throw that out there too. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, God had to fulfill that. So he had to have a lamb. He had to have a sacrifice. And so he make it real clear, not necessarily that the order was changing, but that it was being fulfilled. What he required and requested was being fulfilled. And but it was not going to be with the blood of bulls and oxes and ashes of a heifer and all of that. That's the other thing too. You got to understand God's plan. God's plan was that what they was practicing was going to become a reality. I even look at the sanctuary over in Hebrews 8. This is just to show you what God had showed Moses was what was to come. Well, people start practicing that, and after Christ came, they continue on practicing. They were never to continue that. There was going to be a time that that was going to stop. And when Christ came, but people, they still want to practice worldly chivalry. So we'll look at Hebrews 8. Let's read verses 1 through 3.
Okay. Hebrews 8, verses 1 through 3. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne in the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Amen, amen.
So, now, of the things which we had spoken, this is how you sum it up. We have such a high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Amen.
A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. See, man, tabernacle is something he can put his eyes on, something he can put his hands on. But God is saying, hey, I have another sanctuary that man didn't pitch. Man didn't build this one. I know Russell is a big construction company, but he didn't do this one here. And it's for us. So he was explaining to them that because of the new covenant, the high priest of a new covenant. Listen, brothers and sisters, we have a high priest of a new covenant, and that new covenant is Christ. Remember in Hebrews 9 when he talks about the very first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made. So the first wherein was the candlesticks, and he talks about how that there was a table in there and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And he says after the veil, the tabernacle is called the holiest of all. He said, which had godless censers. So he talks about the comparison of the two sanctuary. But because this is a new covenant, but he explained in the ninth chapter how there's they are similar. There's a lot of similarity. Talked about how when the priest would go in. Yeah. But also, he talks about neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of a bull and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sacrifice, the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Now let me explain what all this stuff, what I'm trying to tell you here is. There is a new covenant, and in this new covenant, Christ used his own blood. to get us away from that consciousness of serving the flesh. Yeah. You know, your conscience, your conscience ain't no joke. Because it's your conscience that reminds you. Where you get in Christ, it'll erase all that stuff from dead works. And you'll begin to serve a living God. You'll get away from going to church, and you'll become the church.
Amen.
You'll get away from talking about it, and you'll be about it. Okay? But here's how this takes place. Romans 12 and 2 says that we have to have our mind renewed on the Word of God. It has to happen, brothers and sisters. That's what has to happen. You have to have your mind renewed. Read that, Evangelist William, in Romans 12. I think we had verse 2 and verse 9.
Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Harbor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Amen.
That way you can understand how much more the blood of Christ through the eternal spirit offer himself without spot or to God, purging your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. See, when Moses was instructed to build a tabernacle, God showed it to him and what it was going to look like and what it was going to be like. Do I need to go there? Huh? He showed him and explained to him how things were to be taken and how things were to be carried out.
Amen.
That's why this is so important. People want to be part of Moses' tabernacle, but they don't want to be part of Christ's tabernacle. We're supposed to be partakers of the heavenly calling. Remember over there in Hebrews 3? Everybody hadn't come to that place. Well, we'll read a little bit so you'll know that the world is holding on to something that God said, hey, let it go. Christ is here now. The old is past. Behold, all become new. So he called us holy brethren. God didn't call them holy brethren before Christ came. He didn't do that. None is holy. None is good. But once we have Christ, we can become holy. But the Hebrews 3, verses 1, let's at least read to 6.
Hebrews 3, 1 through 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakes of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that builds all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So whose house are you? You're trying to hold on to what Moses did, and what God showed Moses was just going to be a type of what was to come. Well, once Christ came, and even though now I ain't taking nothing from Moses, Moses was faithful, serving in God's household. He told the people what God wanted them to understand. But Christ is a faithful son in charge of God's household. The difference is Moses was a servant, and Christ was a son.
Amen.
Who happened to be in charge of God's household. We are part of his household. He continued to give us eternal life. Moses' household could not give us eternal life, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We can only have eternal life through Christ, okay? Practicing what Moses was, I guess I got to take you back there and show you. In Hebrews 1,
Hebrews 1:1. God who at sundry times and one moment. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the Father by the prophets.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. See, God who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. That's how God spoke in time past. He went through a whole line of prophecy or prophets prophesying, speaking. That's how God dealt with them. And he addressed their issues, whatever, through prophets. But now, have in these last days spoken unto us by his son, who have appointed heir over all things, by whom also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. And he had by himself purged out sin, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
And then it talks about how much better Christ was. Listen, brothers and sisters, there was a time in the past that God would speak through his prophets. But it's different now. Different time now. And in many different ways, he's speaking. But now, in these last days, he speaks through his son. God made a son to speak through him.
Amen.
And gave him the responsibility for everything. He put it in his son.
Amen.
So, when you need a word, you go to the word. See, God's son is a reflection of him. Moses wasn't. Moses was a reflection of the first Adam. But Christ is a reflection of God himself.
Amen. Amen.
One other scripture I'm going to kind of mess with a little bit, and then anybody else have anything they want to share, you just press 1. But in Colossians 3, I think it was 3:3-5, it might have been, I know it was in Colossians 3. But we're going to start with the first verse and read down through, so that'd be Colossians 3. And we'll read down through the fourth verse.
Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Amen.
So the word if, even though it's two-letter word, it's a two-letter word, mentioned 5,000 sometime in the Bible, the word if is a possibility. It could and could not be. So when people say if, you know, it doesn't have to be, or then it could be. And so, so the writer says here, if you then be risen with Christ. See, I don't know if you're risen with Christ because you go to a building or because you parade around with banners and because you're telling people you sanctified. And see, I don't know. But if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where
Amen.
Christ sits on the right hand of God. Why are you seeking this stuff here on earth? And this
Amen.
Word seek is that same word that he that findeth a wife findeth the good thing. You're seeking. The woman who lost her coin, and she was seeking till she found it. You're looking for it. So if you are looking for the things of Christ, then look above, not on earth. And he plainly say things on earth. Listen, brothers and sisters, matter of fact, you know, that's the first thing we ought to do anyway. The Bible tells you, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen, amen.
That's the first thing. So a lot of times people want to put the, what they say, the cart before the horse. That ain't how it works.
Amen.
We ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we talked about what the kingdom of God, but people, they don't seek the kingdom of God. They're not seeking the spiritual thing. And I like the fact he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So people never get into what the kingdom of God is. And he just don't say seek the kingdom of God. It says seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Well, people, they get off into adding all these things out there, and they have forgotten the most important part. But seek ye the kingdom of God. So God is telling us how to live, what to look for, how to go at it.
Yes, yes.
He said these things will be added. Well, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. And that's what you should be looking for. That should be what you should be after. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Not some building. And I think preachers are responsible for teaching people. Not so much what these words mean, but what the word of God is saying. Because, see, that's what preaching is, for those that don't know. Preaching is giving the scripture and the sense of it. Yeah. So when I think about the parable that Jesus gave about how this woman had lost, when I think about she had lost a coin, and until she found it. I think about seek. I think about how Herod seek to find Christ. He'd heard that he had been born, the Savior had been born. So he seek, but he was seeking for a different reason. He was seeking so he could kill him, so he wouldn't lose his kingdom. So what are you seeking for? Let me go and throw that out there too. The Bible tells us that if we ask, we'll receive. And if we seek, we'll find. And if we'll knock, the door will be open. The only reason he want to give us is because he want us to ask. The only reason he want us to seek so we can find. And the only reason he want us to knock so the door will swing open.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, anyone have anything they want to share, any comments, anything that went on this week that you want to comment on, just press 1. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to take this time personally and thank Evangelist William for hanging in here with us this week and especially today.
Amen.
Thank God you're getting better by the day, by the moment, by the hour. And I want to say this too. I don't know who I'm talking to, but meditate on these scriptures, okay? Meditate on them. Meditate. Just don't read them. Just don't meditate on the Word of God. Let it get in you. Let it become alive to you. Anyone else have anything they want to share?
I would just say good lesson this week. Good lesson.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, if nothing else, we thank you all. We'll see you all tomorrow.